Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
The following is a special Boston Bastard Brigade presentation.
Joining us on another edition of B3's 101 is one of the many talented performers touring the stage on Deadmau5's Mellington's Hacks Tour. She's out promoting her upcoming EP, Locked and Loaded, due out on October 24th. Please welcome to the program some other female interest, or the woman simply known as Sophie.
Yay!
Sophie, welcome to Boston Bastard Brigade.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How's the road right... Oh, that. I fuck up on the first question.
Usually that's my job, so I'm glad you did that. It's all good.
How is the road life treating you?
It's good. It's a little tiring at this point because we've been on the road together for such a long time. We've been going since last December, really. So it's been amazing, though. You know what I mean? Like, the crowds have been insane. The show's getting bigger and bigger. We're, you know, Deadmau5 is selling out places all over the place. So it's really fun. It's good times for sure.
And you've been touring all over the world and everything this past year. Out of all the places you've been to, what would you think was the most breathtaking experience you've seen?
Oh my god, that's a loaded question.
We're full of those.
Yeah, it's hard to pick because, like, New York, for instance, just a week ago, we played there for 6 nights in a row, which was insane. Apparently, the last time somebody did that at the Roseland Ballroom was Rage Against the Machine in, like, 95 or something.
Yeah.
So, stuff like that is obviously really exciting to know that you're going to be doing this, you know, something that massive. Other than that, gosh, we've been all over the world. Like, we went to Australia, we went to Korea, you know, we went to, I mean... Everywhere has been really, really exciting, so I can't really just pinpoint one place. Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, one of the shows that is just so memorable, I think it's now famous as the Earl's Court Show.
Right.
What sort of experience was that for you?
That, I definitely remember that one, because I remember getting to soundcheck and seeing this massive stage and, you know, this massive plays that, you know, pop artists would play and sell out. So I just remember just sitting there shaking my head being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, the production has gotten so big and so many people are going to come see us tonight. So that was pretty intense.
Yes.
There's a lot of times where you like in Boston, you've played a couple shows. Do you prefer to like stay in one place and get a feel for it, or do you like moving on and doing a different place, a different show every single night?
I like both. You know, after being on tour for such a long time, you actually kind of prefer to stay at one place for a few days. It just kind of makes you feel like a normal human being again, and you get to just go for coffee in the morning and, you know, just have like a normal, regular lifestyle. But I do enjoy traveling a lot, and I love seeing different places and different people and how people react to the music and stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, you started out young in the group Danasi. Is that how you pronounce it?
Danasi, yeah.
Danasi.
Oh gosh, I was a baby then. Yeah.
Which was more... how do you say urban than your current work?
It was like, you know, like a R&B pop trio at first, and then we ended up as a duo. It was like a TLC-ish type of thing, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what were like the factors that led to you wanting to change from the poppy to the more techno-y?
I think just growing up really led to it. You know, I started in this pop group when I was 13, now I'm 28, so a lot has changed since then, obviously, and, you know, in the beginning when I was in this pop R&B group, it was more the producers, you know, and the record label having say in what you're going to be like, what you're going to, you know, be portrayed as, and you grow and you just kind of find your own way around things and your own creativity and create your own personality, and that's what I like, so... here we go.
Cool.
Okay. And so after that, you started with a bunch of choreography and backup dancing for, like, Britney Spears and Avril Lavigne. tons of other artists.
Yeah. And I know, I've been kind of all over the place, haven't
what
I?
What would you think you would have learned from such an eclectic group of artists? Because there's been a lot of variation between them.
Yeah. You know, there's so much to learn from every single one of them, because, I mean, the way they work, first of all, the way, you know, shows are put together, and then at the same time, just be open-minded. You know, I love all kinds of music, and I don't know, I don't see myself doing the same kind of stuff I'm doing now 10 years from now. You know, I think as an artist you want to grow and you know, explore different avenues, and just, yeah, I guess just being open-minded and learning how to be professional, how to do things, how to perform, you know what I mean? Just awesome. It's good experiences for sure to have in your pocket and use them every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you're here touring with dead mouse, Tommy Lee, DJ Arrow.
Yeah.
How did you first get involved with the Mousetrap label?
Well, I met dead mouse in 2007, and that was through Tommy Lee, because I did a backup vocal job for him. So he called me and was like, oh, I'm working on this project with these dudes. It was Steve Duda, Arrow, and dead mouse, and Tommy at that point. And so he called me to do some more backup vocals for that. And that's when Joel and I became friends, and 3 years later we recorded the track So If He Needs a Ladder, and then one thing kind of led to the other, and he was like, hey, do you want to really do this, you know, do a record on the label? And, you know, then we just kind of started brainstorming, and here we are now, still doing it.
Yes.
Okay. And my personal favorite question, I always love your style and everything, and like the videos and the shows and everything.
Cool, thanks.
And so what would you think your, like, your biggest inspirations when it comes to style are?
Oh, God. I definitely think I'm influenced by punk rock style, as mm-hmm. far as, like, I love how the Clash dressed, you know what I mean?
Mm. Okay.
I think there's that, and then there's the more, I guess, lady punk rock and roll style, like Gwen Stefani.
Uh-huh.
Or Joan Jett.
Yeah, exactly, Joan Jett. Thanks, yeah. Yeah, I think that's where my influence comes from, and incorporating that with a bit of a futuristic style, you know? So, yes. Using, like, futuristic fabrics that are, you know, reflecting a lot of light, and just, like, our, like, prism colored, so, mm-hmm. and neons. So, yeah, I don't know, I just kind of do what I like and feel like. I guess it really, you know, just shows my attitude and personality.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay.
Did you want to ask the follow-up?
Oh, yeah.
Is that another one of your favorites?
It is, because, all right, so I've always loved all of your crazy hair things, because you can tell I do that, and I wanted to know.
I know, this is so normal right now.
I know. But do you do your hair yourself, or?
You know, I actually used to for a long time. I used to dye myself, and then I got this little feather razor, so I would use it every day.
That's what I used to cut my hair.
Yeah, and then it got crazy, though. You know, those things are addictive.
Yeah,
I mean, you wake up in the morning and your hair doesn't sit right, so you just start chopping on every little piece.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I still get in there every now and then, but I don't go as crazy, just so I can keep some sort of a hairstyle together. I mean, I started looking like a crazy bird. But, yeah, I like having fun with it. I think anything that's creative and expressive, I'm totally in for. So,
sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, as mentioned, one of the songs you do with dead mouse is called Sophie Needs a Ladder. And I'm
yes, sir.
Curious about the backstory behind the name Sophie Needs a Ladder, because there is no ladder mentioned in the song at all. So
yeah.
Is there a little funny tale behind the song, or
there
the actual title?
There is a kind of unspectacular and funny tale behind it. I mean, the track was called You Need a Ladder before I got on it, and it was a reference to Zelda. So, it was a reference to Zelda at first, because there was a sample of the Zelda soundtrack in it, mm-hmm. which got taken out later. So, it was a working title called You Need a Ladder. Then I did my vocals on top of it. So we just called it Sophie Needs a Ladder,
yeah.
without thinking about that's going to be the title for the song. We're not going to stick to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I remember the next day, right after we recorded it, I was feeding the fish, and I always step on this little step ladder to get on top of the tank. And I was feeding them, and Joel walked past me, and he's like, you do really need a ladder. And I'm obviously not, like, the tallest person on Earth, so uh-huh. sometimes, you know, I need to step on things to get to, like, I don't know, a bowl or whatever I need in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So the boys kind of make fun of me like that, so we just stuck to Sophie Needs a Ladder to get to things. See, and now you can look at it that way. I need a ladder to step onto my next adventure.
I don't know.
I like that.
Right? Yeah. So deep.
Yes.
We've noticed you've done, like, multiple different types of, like, recording music, like, in the studio or, like, file sharing between different people. What would you think your favorite way to actually make the music is, though?
I actually like being in a room with people and creating together. I really enjoy that a lot. At the same time, when I write lyrics, I like to be completely by myself because it's such a personal thing to me, and I just want to be in the moment and just me, myself, and I, you know what I mean? Not having anybody censor it right away or look at it, and I just want to get it together and get it right for me first, and then I like the jam session, you know what I mean? Like, right. Hanging out with everybody together and creating.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Because while the file sharing is really cool, it's the downside is the waiting game, waiting to see
Absolutely.
What everybody else has to say about it.
Exactly. And then it's like waiting to get it back and listen to what the other person did, and then you got to go back and forth about it again and make sure that everybody likes it. So it's great at the same time that you can produce a lot more music that way, even being on the road. You know, you can just send stuff around. You don't always have to meet at the same spot. Like, I can work with people in the UK without them actually physically being there.
Right.
But like I said, it's definitely more fun being there physically with people.
Yeah. Understandable.
Right?
Yeah. As mentioned also, you're currently getting ready to release your first EP, Locked and Loaded. And I did get to listen to a couple of tracks from that, and it's sounding fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Now, for people that haven't listened to it, what can they really expect from it?
See, it's so hard for me to describe my own music. I'm having such a hard time doing that. I guess there's definitely some industrial dubstep sounding, heavy sounding stuff on it with my signature rappy kind of style that people know me from Sophie Needs a Ladder and One Trick Pony. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there's going to be a lot more singing on it, which people haven't really heard as much of yet from me. So I guess, yeah, it's almost like dramatic sounding, I feel like. It's like drama, dubstep, pop influenced, I guess.
Sounds cool.
But more on a personal level. Like.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, yeah, the songs are really personal to me. I mean, every single one of them is, like, a story of my personal life. It's not anything I came up with out of nowhere.
So you released the music video for Broken Souvenirs.
Yes.
And that was a collaboration with Millions Like Us.
Correct.
Can you share the main inspiration behind the video? Because it is pretty cool. With all the
fire. Oh, thanks. Well, I actually did not come up with the concept for the video. It was the Moonrunners, who are really talented. They're a directing team from the UK, and they came up with the idea to do a trilogy. With so we're using three songs out of the four that we're releasing on the two-part EP to put together a story, and it's kind of backwards. Like, basically, the first video that you see is the end of the story.
Interesting.
So
that's all. Very Memento.
Yes, very much so, yeah. Uh-huh. And, yeah, I think he was really inspired by that whole Mad Max type of feel, so. Mm-hmm. And I loved the idea because it's dark and it still, you know, shows, I guess it makes the listener still check out the music rather than having too much going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, I would say, so. Yeah, I'm glad you like it.
Yes. Would you say it's a personal song, like something that you've experienced?
Broken Souvenirs?
Yes.
Yeah, just like I said with the other ones, they definitely all are, and Broken Souvenirs is definitely one of those. It's almost like a tragic love story / breakup. It talks about, you know, sometimes when you feel like you have the attraction and the chemistry and everything is there, but you can't make the relationship work for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So it's basically that in a nutshell. And people on the outside think it's so great and everything's awesome and you guys are the greatest couple. And in reality, things are just not really what they are. But you are holding on to whatever you have left, which are your broken souvenirs in that sense. So.
Right.
In a nutshell.
We know a lot of couples. Well, we knew a bunch of couples that were in that sort of situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, every now and then people go through that, and I've been in it where I just couldn't figure it out. I was like, what, this is so perfect. Why is it not working? But you go through it, you go through life, write a song, and move on.
Awesome. On your YouTube page, there's some videos of you teaching dance workshops. And I'm curious to know, like, even with this long tour schedule, have you found time to still do those?
You know, I haven't taught in probably the last 6 months, to be honest. it's been kind of crazy, especially trying to write and trying to finish an EP, trying to be on tour, doing all these sort of things. But I think I will get back into it around December. I'm going to travel back to Germany and visit my family there. So I usually always teach out there when I go. So,
yes.
Yeah, I love it. I really enjoy it.
Now, like, what are some of the things that you learn from your students that, in return, that you teach them?
To be patient. Really to be patient. And be really detailed and explain things, you know. Because it's one thing to be a good dancer, and it's another thing to be a good teacher, you know. I know so many good dancers that can't show what they're doing because they just don't have the patience to break it down. So I've definitely learned that from teaching other people. You know, you need to take your time and be detailed about what exactly is the move you're doing, how is it put together so it looks like what it looks like at the end of the day. And for me, I mean, the most important thing is, for as far as dance goes, is not so much the technique, it's more about the feel, like the feeling that you get. So I'm all about that, like just grooving on things and vibing out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so after the tour is over and Locked and Loaded is all released and everything, what do you think is next for you?
Ooh! If I had one of those little magic balls. I don't know. See, it's kind of exciting because the end of the year is coming up, too. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those times where you just start thinking, what's going to happen the next year? I mean, we only have one more year and then it's over anyways, right? 2012, apparently. Yeah.
So they say. What was that I heard? All you got to do is just buy another Mayan calendar.
I know.
Maybe a Garfield one.
I would like that one. See? I know. I'm like, what the hell? So I don't know. I just hope I can continue making music and you know, hopping on another tour. I mean, I'm sure Joel and I will be doing stuff together in the future here and there, but I don't know, just continue being creative and hope that people like it and, you know, being able to do what I do. Maybe get more into acting as well. I don't know. There's always so many things I want to do. I'm so ADD with stuff.
Well, if you mention acting, what would be your dream role for you to play?
Oh, gosh. I kind of like, you know, dark, dramatic roles where you just have to really get into your emotions and, but I also love action. Action would be really fun. I would really like to be a badass, you know what I mean? They're like, yeah, that's me. I'm a superhero. What's up?
If the only David Fincher could have waited a couple of years to make the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo remake.
You know what? I always get that. People are like, you look just like her. I was like, oh, that's so funny. It would have been a good one.
Have you seen the one they picked for the U.S. version?
No.
Terrible.
Really?
She's like some no-name, but in my opinion, terrible.
Really? Yeah. Oh, see? I could have done that. Shit.
Work with Daniel Craig. No big deal.
Yeah, whatever. I'll just give him a call.
Oh, hi, James Bond. How are you doing?
Yeah. Hey, you got a dream. You know what I mean? You got to set your dreams up and your goals high, so.
Yeah.
Never know.
Now, you're releasing this EP, and I think you said part two of an EP later on, but what would you like your first full album to accomplish?
Ooh, see, just the thought of a full album scares me. Honestly, because it's such a big project, and I feel like, I don't know if I'm going to ever have the time to sit down for like 2-3 straight months and focus on one thing. Because I do love touring life, so it's been a great balance for me to go on tour, be home for a week, create something, go back out, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. I really can't tell you that. It's a big project for me, and I do want to work on it. And I see it being definitely a lot of different styles.
Awesome.
But I have no idea, because I don't know. I change so much and so quickly that if I tell you something now, by the time I probably start doing it, it's going to be a completely different idea.
Well, I know you've worked with Deadmau5, Skillrax, Noisy, and Millions Like Us. Who would be your dream collaboration?
I don't know if there's just one, but recently I've been just talking about Missy Elliott a lot, which is so random.
Yeah, where's she been anyway?
Exactly. Right? I think
she'll bust her back into the scene.
I know. I randomly just stumble upon her, like, her old videos, and I was like, damn, she was so dope. Like, she was so fresh. What happened?
Get your freak on.
Exactly. You know, and I think she had that kind of quirky attitude, and she was not afraid to do new crazy things, and I totally dig her style. So I think she would be somebody I would really love to work with. Yeah.
Awesome.
Very intriguing.
Yeah.
And so everything thus far from, like, Backup Dancing to Dead Mouse, everything, would you say that you've accomplished your dreams, or is there way bigger ones all
There's
around
There's way bigger ones. My dreams are ridiculous. And I'm not afraid to dream big, either. I'm just like, yeah, Sophie for president. It's all good.
Sophie will be the first artist ever to a live concert on Jupiter!
There you go, you know what I mean? Yeah. Stupid shit like that. I always have some silly ideas, and then I'm like, why not? You know, kids do that, and I believe that kids are not afraid to dream, and that's why they accomplish things, and, I mean, you got to start somewhere. And looking back, you know, it's kind of cool. I'm like, wow, you know, I grew up in a small town in Germany, and I've accomplished a few things, and it's been going good, so who knows?
Awesome.
Who knows? I'm definitely not there, you know what I mean? I don't feel like, yay, I made it. I don't...
It's always a long road.
Yeah.
When you get to the top, you gotta work your way to stay at the top.
And I wonder if you ever feel like you are there. You know what I mean? Because there's always another level to reach. I mean, when do you say, okay, this is cool, I got it all. Like,
yeah.
I always think there's so much more to accomplish.
It's like, another challenger arrives.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Sophie versus Lady Gaga. Sophie versus Madonna. Sophie versus Janet Jackson.
Dun, dun, dun.
No big deal.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Gaga might be fun, too. I don't know. There's so many cool artists out. It's hard to think about that one specific one, but like I said, I've just recently been thinking about Missy Elliott. I'm like, where's she been? Come back. Let's do some. That would be awesome.
Okay. Perhaps the proper connections will get you to meet her and say, hey, let's do something.
There you go. You know, maybe some random coffee shop diner meeting. I'd be like, listen, Missy, check it out. I want to do a track with you. Let's do this.
Just lay it down.
No, just lay it down, just like that.
Yes. Okay. Are you ready for the final question?
Yes.
The question I ask all the musicians.
Let's do it.
If you were stuck on a deserted island, which three albums would you like to have on you to keep you sane until your imminent rescue, and why?
Oh, boy. Okay, let's start with definitely The Clash. We're taking The Clash with. Just because they're going to keep me sane with their smart lyrics and their rebellious attitude. Who else? Yikes. What do we do? Who do we take? What have I been listening to lately?
Well, how about, think of artists from your home country.
Oh my gosh.
Or any other country.
Yeah. I'm like, what would I take with me? You know what? Adele. Let's take Adele with us, because she's kind of chill.
Okay.
And
help you relax.
Yeah.
Be calm about the desert island.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, which one of her albums, 19 or 21?
Let's take 21.
Okay.
We'll take 21 with us. And then we gotta get one smashing one in there, too. Like, we gotta dance at some point, because we got the rock, We got soul, now we need to dance. What if I put a compilation together before I went there?
Compilations are good. Damien Abraham I Fucked Up actually mentioned a good compilation album.
Really?
Yes.
Well, what if I put together my own compilation?
Mix CD?
Yeah.
Or mix vinyl?
Does that count? Does that count? I would
you
do like...
You know what? We'll let it count this time.
Thank you. Because I have a lot of DJ friends, so, you know, it happens that they do give me their stuff. So, we would have Deadmau5 on there. We would have Skrillex on there. Feed Me. So definitely some electronic music. Right. I think then we have a few bases covered. We're good.
Yeah.
So awesome. I can dance on my own, you know? So I can throw a party while I'm waiting there for somebody to rescue me.
And the light show will help show the boats.
Exactly. See? We got it all covered.
Win-win there.
Yeah. All right. Sweet.
Okay.
Awesome.
Lock and Loaded hits stores October 24th, and the Meowington Hacks Tour continues onward throughout America and the rest of the world through 2012. Sophie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.